a wonderful lesson. No PowerPoint, just a lesson from God's Word out of the Bible, everybody to follow along. And we, at intermission, got up, came back to our seats, and just before we started, there were two young men that were sitting behind us. And I'll never forget it. One leaned over to the other and said, "Now we're going to see a PowerPoint presentation." As though what had been presented before wasn't good enough. I'm convinced that there are brethren, this is just my opinion, there are brethren that are preachers that put more emphasis and more work into the PowerPoint presentation than into the substance of the lesson. That's a shame. That is just a shame that that takes place. So, it's not that I can't, it's that I don't. And then when I do, I don't make it flashy or fancy. It's just words written up there. Another part of explanation is in connection with this particular lesson that I have been asked by one of the elders to bring in connection with dancing and whether or not dancing is a sin. Let me just tell you something that took place at one of the works where I was. Dancing had come up in a class setting. The class was not about dancing, but the topic came up. And it came up kind of through the back door. It was really about mercy and treating brethren, one another, with mercy, which we are to do as Christians. And I told them that I had really learned a valuable lesson in being merciful, and that in connection with protecting, especially one that is new to the faith. I remember that in a class setting one time, dancing did come up as a topic. I was not conducting the class. I was a member of the class. And the preacher started to talk about dancing, and there was a young lady that had just been recently baptized. And she raised her hand and said, "Am I missing? Is there something wrong with dancing? Because I go out every Saturday and I dance. Is there something wrong with that?" I really believe that I have seen brethren, I know of brethren that would not have been merciful to that young Christian, but could have completely destroyed her faith in trying to make a point to where really they appeared to be in control, in power, and pronouncing sin on somebody. The response that was given by the preacher at that time was with love and care. Let's just see what God's word has to say. And for the next two class sessions, he made that presentation. After that second class session, the same man that brought the class also brought the sermon, and the young lady came forward confessing her wrong in engaging in that particular action because of what the scripture said. I made that point in the class that I was teaching some years later about mercy and treating one another with mercy. And there was a lady there that was probably 10 years older than I am that raised her hand and said, "Well, I don't see anything wrong with dancing either." And she had been a member of the Church of Christ, I'll put that in quotation mark, for many years. Knowing the situation now, what her situation was, I understand that there had not been any teaching on that whatsoever. This is something that used to be covered quite often by preachers of old. And not only this, but also social drinking and so forth. You know, there's the old joke that goes that preachers tell sometime. There was a preacher preaching and he was preaching on drinking. And there was a old sister that was sitting in the back, and boy, he was coming down on those lessons, and that sister elbowed her husband to get him to say amen, and he'd say amen. And then he started talking about gambling and really coming down on gambling and so forth, and the old sister elbowed her husband, and her husband said amen. And then he started coming down on dipping snuff and really coming down on that, the use of tobacco, and the old brother went like this with his elbow, and his wife went, "No," like that. Shook her head no for the listening audience. After the sermon was over and the meeting dismissed, the sister came back and said, "Brother, let me tell you, I was right with you when you were talking about drinking. And I had my husband say amen. I was right with you when you were talking about gambling, and I had him say amen. But when you got to dipping snuff, you went from preaching the gospel to meddling." And that happens from time to time with the things that we want to do. It becomes meddling if it's something that we want to do. And so I want to look at this with you. And it's not because it's not presented, it just needs to be presented. Even though it's not presented much, it still needs to be presented from time to time. Not only this, but gambling, I will do that at some point in time. Drinking, I'll do that at some point in time also. But I've been asked to start with this. And so we'll talk about this evening. Is dancing a sin? In consideration of this, we're not talking about what a man and a wife does in the privacy of their own home. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter and verse 4, marriage is honorable in all things. And so we're not talking about if a man and a woman put on music in their own home, away from everyone else, and they enjoy the rhythm of one another with the music, that's their business. That's their business. And it is not, we're not talking about this sort of situation, if the closet dancers, so to speak. No, that's not what's in consideration. We're talking about that applicable today under the new covenant and in a public setting. That's what we're talking about. That's what I'm wanting to bring to you for your consideration in with this particular lesson. That which is done in the public and that which is done, I used to be able to say, between a man and a woman, that's not necessarily so anymore. But it doesn't matter because of what we're going to be presenting either way in a public setting. We're going to look at dance, first of all, in the Old Testament. We're also going to be looking at dance as presented in the New Testament, because there is mention of both in both Testaments. Dancing in the Old Testament, Miriam danced in Exodus 15 chapter and verse 20. And that was after a victory, a battle that had been won. Miriam, of course, a relative of Moses and Aaron. David danced in 2 Samuel 6, chapter verse 14 through 16, and that was in connection with the Ark of the Covenant being brought back to Jerusalem after it had been in the hands of the Philistines for so many years. And so he danced in connection with that. David exhorted to dance, gave exhortation to the people to dance in the 149th Psalm, verse 3, and also the 150th Psalm in verse 4. So there was the exhortation that was given there. But here's a question I want to pose to you concerning those accounts that we have. Do the accounts of the Jewish celebrations under the old law allow for the modern dance of today? Are we speaking about things that are comparable, apples to apple, or are we looking at something that is different? I want to just quickly make comment on the things that were done here because of what Adam Clark says in his commentary concerning the word dance, the Hebrew word dance, two particular words that are in the Hebrew, machal and machaloth, in the Hebrew for dance. He says, "I know no place in the Bible where those two words, those two Hebrew words, mean dance of any kind. They consistently, or constantly rather, signify some kind of pipe. That is the playing of an instrument." It is interesting that if you look, there will be other commentators that disagree with him. But I think he makes a very good point in connection with this. And I also want us to think back, because as we look at the exhortation even that was given by David for dance, it is not as far as a statute, a commandment, that or an ordinance contained in the Mosaic Law. It is that which he did in connection with celebration of some event taking place. And I know that in the account that we have listed here in 2 Samuel 6, chapter verse 14 through 16, that it says that he danced and that he danced naked. Now I want you to consider that. Here we have a man after God's own heart that was dancing, and as the record says, he danced naked. And we have to take within the context to understand that here we have an individual that is the king of Israel, And it says that he danced and that he danced naked. And understand there are different varying degrees of naked, especially in consideration of the tradition of the Jews. It could be that it was without a certain article of clothing that he did not have on. And so he was not fully attired as normal, and that would be an aspect of nakedness. And then also, David being a musician, I think that Clark makes a pretty good argument in connection with those two particular Hebrew words, where it's not really a dancing, a frolicking, and especially not the type of dance that we have today, that we know and are accustomed to knowing today. It's not that sort of dance whatsoever. It was some sort of celebration, that we know for sure. It was some sort of celebration. And so whether it was the piping or whether it was some sort of round that was taking place, it was not the type of dance that we have today. So that's for your consideration right there. But I think that there's other aspects. And when you get into these things that we've already talked about just in the presentation or the opening statements of this lesson, you're not going to find in Scripture, of course, where it says, "Thou shalt not dance." You're not going to find in Scripture, "Thou shalt not gamble, thou shalt not drink, thou shalt not do many different things." And the reason we don't find that, as we're going to see, is that they are contained within certain principles of things that Christians are not to be involved in. Certain principles that are taught by God through Scripture, where we then necessarily imply from necessarily infer from what is implied through Scripture because of what is being done. This is not what a Christian is to do. It is lessons of principle rather than lessons of thou shalt not. And so keep that in mind. In the New Testament, in the parable of the prodigal, Luke 15, chapter verse 25, you have the prodigal returning, and there is Mary that is being made, that's M-E-R-R-Y, that is being made because of this prodigal that had been dead but now has come back. Dead as far as, of course, separate from the father and separate from the family and separate from the love that was there for him. And he comes back and the older son hears the music and the dancing that is taking place. And that very well could fit in a lot with what Clark says in hearing. How do you hear the dances unless you hear the tapping of the feet on the floor? Maybe it was more along the line of piping. That's neither here nor there. That's just some thought for you to consider. But we see that that is mentioned. Dancing, that word that is used there in Luke 15 chapter, Strong defines that choros, a ring that is around a dance, a choir, a dancing. And that's how he defines it. And we'll just leave it at that. We'll leave it at that. Some merriment was being made. But let me just, again, for your consideration, in that merriment that was being made, is it the lewd type modern dance that takes place today in bars, in honky-tonks, and in clubs all over this world? No, it was not that. It was a merriment that was being made. In Jesus' comments concerning he and John the Baptizer in Matthew 11, chapter verse 16 through 19, he's talking about a generation that did not receive the teaching of John and were not receiving the teaching of Jesus Christ. And he says, "Where will I liken this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and crying out, come and dance. We call on you to dance, but you're not dancing to our call." And of course, this is used in a metaphorical sense, in a figurative sense, in the allusion that Jesus is giving there. That John was not doing what the Jewish leaders wanted him to do, John the Baptizer, and Jesus wasn't doing that. They have called to the fellows, but they're not following after. And so we have it used in the metaphorical sense, and that word is okay, may I, a row or ring to dance from the rain-like or regular motion dance, that is by Strong, symbolic for not being in step. And that is exactly Jesus' presentation. John and Jesus were not in step with the people, not in step especially with the religious leaders of the day in following after what they wanted. They were teaching God's word. But still, that particular word is used there. And I hit the wrong button. And then we have Herodias' daughter dancing before Herod in Matthew the 14th chapter in verse 6. It happens to be exactly the same word that Jesus used in Matthew 11, 16 through 19. Okamei, row, ring, to dance, from the rain-like regular motion dance. Thayer says the lascivious and wanton dance. And that is indicated by the context, because of the arousal of Herod to say to Herodias' daughter, anything you want, I will give to you. And so she, of course, asked for the head of John the Baptizer, is what she asked for, because he had been aroused by her dance. So we understand by context, one being used in a figurative sense by Jesus, Matthew 11, chapter 16 through 19, about he and John the Baptizer, and then the other concerning Herodias' daughter, where there was that physical, sensual, sexual arousal that came about because of the dance that she put on for Herod. And so we understand. We start then to understand the difference as far as dance is concerned, and we also see the different outcomes that are there. And this particular word, as it is applied within context, is the word that we're thinking about when we talk about dance today. It is that which causes arousal, a physical arousal. When we think about this, there are other related words in connection with dance. And it is not just the action of dance, but it is the cause and effect of dance, where these other words tie in. The first one is the word reveling. Galatians 5, 21, 1 Peter 4, and verse 3. The word is kamos, a carousal, as of a letting loose, reveling, a rioting, according to Thayer. And this is an action that is taking place that has its roots in that letting go of that which is ethical, that which is moral, that which would usually harness an individual's presentation of themselves. There's a letting go of that. And we see that in the modern dance today. That's one of the aspects. Sandy, would you make sure that the sound system is on? I forgot to check. No. It is on. Thank you. He said it's on. Appreciate that. And so we see that used there also in 1 Peter 4 and verse 3. And then there is the word wantonness from Romans the 13th chapter and verse 13. Asilgei, meaning licentiousness, sometimes including other vices, but filthy, lascivious wantonness. And turn with me, if you would, over to Galatians the 5th chapter. We have there, of course, as everyone recognizes, a listing of the works of the flesh. And they are in opposition to the fruit of the Spirit. So we look in Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 19 beginning. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and I want you to notice this next thought, and such like. That is the reason that we don't find thou shalt not dance, thou shalt not drink, thou shalt not gamble, thou shalt not do this and that. Because of the of such like statement, that is, of the works of the flesh in verse 21 of Galatians the 5th chapter. He doesn't have to list them all. The Lord didn't have to list them all when he says of such like. If the outcome of doing this is like this that he presents in the works of the flesh, it is the such like. You avoid that, you abstain from that, you don't do that. And that's the lesson that he gives. Let me just stop here and make one other thought in connection with principle about this topic. In classes before and in my lessons before, I've made presentation to the fact that what we do in our worship and service to God physically is only incidental. It's only incidental. And it never stands for the totality of obedience in worship and service to God. The physical never stands for the totality of the obedience and worship to God. Let me give you examples. We are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We are to be here and we are to worship God. Now, just because your body is present here, sitting in a pew right now, are you really worshiping God? Well, no, because your mind might be somewhere else. You may be saying, I was really hoping this was going to be a short sermon. We get out of here real quick. Jack only led two songs. It was looking real good. And now look what he's doing. Okay? So, no, that's not the case. Is the eating and the drinking of the Lord's Supper just that physical action? Does it then consist of the totality of worship and service to God? No. Not if we're not proclaiming or showing forth the Lord's death until He comes with our mind set in the right place. And I can go through every act of worship, it doesn't matter what it is, and we come to the same conclusion. The physical aspect in that which is spiritual, we worship God in spirit and in truth, John 4, chapter and verse 24, is only incidental. It is with the mind. Remember, we talked about the Matthew 22nd chapter, wherever Jesus addressed the Pharisees, and he told them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, strength. That is the attitude that is expressed really in worship and service to God. The antithesis of that are the works of the flesh, where the works of the flesh emphasize that which is lewd and wanton and lasciviousness, that which is filthy, that which tantalizes the mind sensually and the body sensually. It is amplified in the works of the physical aspect is amplified in the works of the flesh. It's exactly opposite to the fruit of the Spirit. So when we come down to verse 22 of Galatians 5, he says there, but, when we see the word but in the Scripture, we understand it's a contrast. Unlike the works of the flesh, here is the fruit, singular, not plural, singular of the Spirit. And he says, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. We practice that. We practice that which the law does not prohibit. God's commandments does not prohibit. It is God's commandments that lead us directly to that. And so he says in verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of the flesh. The works of the flesh, the affections of the flesh, have been crucified by Christians where no longer the sensuality of mind and body is the main aspect of life and desire, but rather the fruit of the Spirit, which leads us to Christ and in doing His will. And the physical aspect is only incidental. So we look at this, we understand then that such like statement that is made in Galatians 5 and verse 21 has to do with whatever is lewd, wanton, licentious, filthy, that which tantalizes the sensual aspect. That's the such like that is presented in the works of the flesh. More than what we can talk about. We don't have thou shalt not do crack cocaine in Scripture. Crack cocaine is one of the such like things. And you take every other drug on the face of the earth that people use illicitly and also to escape reality, some that are even prescribed by doctors. And if that is the case, well, then it is lewd, it is sensual, and it is that which appeals to the flesh. It appeals to the flesh. This is seen then, what we're talking about is seen in the modern dance of today, along with cheerleading, twirling, and in some cases even drum major. My daughter was a drum major. And so I want to make that confession before somebody said your daughter was a drum major. She was. She did a couple things. And I have to present this because I think it goes along with the lesson. Number one, their band director had been dismissed because they found out that he had been a pedophile. And he had not done anything at that school where she was, but at a school where he was previously. So he was removed. Whenever that took place, our daughter was a senior. And she went to the powers that be and said, you know, we're coming up on band competition and so forth. If you would like, I will go ahead and lead the band. If you don't want me to, that's fine. They let her go ahead and do that. She also explained, now, I won't be here on Wednesday evenings. And we didn't tell her, now, you can do this, but you have to tell her. She did this on her own accord.
which I'm very proud of her. I'll just be honest, I'm very proud of her. I won't be here on Wednesdays. And whenever I dress in the drum major outfit, it's going to be a tuxedo. I'm not going to wear shorts. I'm not going to show skin and so forth. Is that okay with you? And they said, yeah, that's fine. And so then she led the band for the remainder of that year. They didn't get a band director until the following year. So she did that. I was very proud. Both Beverly and I were. But there are some cases where the cheerleading, the twirling, the drum major, and so forth, they are dressed scantily. Their moves are licentious. Their moves are designed to excite the sensual. And what this shows us is that you can take something as innocent as band. Now, James was in the band, James Duvall, correct? You were in the band. Take something as innocent as being in the band and turn it into that which is licentious. And it doesn't matter what it is. You can do that with anything. And people do that with just about anything. But it would include that. And I make mention of that for those that are grandparents and parents with young ones coming up that may be in a school. Make sure that they're not, that your children understand what we're talking about here. Make sure that they understand that they are to act to give glory unto God. We'll talk about that more in just a moment. Here's the mind of the Christian in connection with all these things. First of all, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22. It says, abstain from every form of evil. In many of the modern translations, in the King James Version, it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. I recognize the fact that there are those that would look at my attire right now. There are religions that would look at my attire right now and say, well, that's licentious. He's not dressed properly. And he doesn't have a beard. And he's not wearing the proper clothing and so forth. I'm going to deem him appearing in evil. He has the appearance of evil. And I recognize people have that consideration. But Paul is not talking about that. Here in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 22, he's talking about abstaining from all appearance of every form of evil. That which is recognized by society for the most part as evil. Dance is not put into settings where wholesomeness is found. Dance is put in settings where there is alcohol. Dance is put in settings where there is a particular dress that is being worn in order to accentuate the sensuality. Dress is put in places where there is outcomes of fornication and adultery and so forth. And there are some folks here that will attest to that. That's where you're going to find it.
Not much light in those places either.
And there's not much light in those places. Thank you, Brother Darrell. No, and the reason being is that evil doesn't want to come to the light. Evil doesn't want to come to the light. And so the mind of the Christian is, I'm not going to act in a way that appears to be a form of evil in any way. I'm not going to do that. That's number one. Number two, there's some things that we are to think on. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And I will tell you that any time that the carnal, the physical, becomes the amplification of life in any way, where there's an enjoyment in that, it can become so amplified in our life that that's really all that we think of if we're not careful. And the dance doesn't cause us to think, I'm talking about the type of dance that takes place today, doesn't cause us to think about these things of virtue, the things of praise, the things that are just. It's actually exactly the opposite. It's exactly the opposite. There's another aspect, and that is having gravity and sincerity. Titus, the second chapter in verse 7. Paul says, in all things, showing yourself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, that is in your teaching. And whatever we do in this life, as Christians, we are teaching someone else what I am doing is okay, or else I would not do it. I don't think that anyone would understand dual nature of the situation where we would have the right to say, well, don't do as I do, just do as I say. Even though a lot of people try to do that. That's not truth. Matter of fact, Paul talked about him not doing that. 1 Corinthians 9, chapter and verse 27, where he kept under his body, he beat it up. He disciplined his body so that in his teaching, he too would not become a castaway by defying what it was that he was instructing Christians to do. And so is the case also with the example set forth by what we do. And then also, approving things that are excellent. In Philippians, the first chapter, I want to look at verses 9 through 11. Philippians 1, 9 through 11. Paul says there, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit, singular once again, of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. What we do it for the glory and praise of God. And I don't believe that the lewd dance, the licentious dance, the wanton dance, the filthy dance of today with its intent and what is required in order to participate in that has to do anything with the glory and praise of God. As a matter of fact, it's the opposite. It's the opposite. So dance in the mind of the Christian, continuing on, there's some questions that we need to ask in connection with the dance. Will dancing bring glory to God? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Of course, I've had this question before in connection with this. Well, every so often I eat a hot dog, and so am I supposed to give glory to God in eating the hot dog? And my answer is, yes, you are. You didn't steal the hot dog, you didn't steal the bun, and you didn't steal the chili. Here in Texas, we put chili on our hot dogs. That's the only scriptural way, just want to let you fellas know. We didn't do any of those things, and so, yes, it is still to the glory of God in eating the hot dog. And so, you know, people will ask all kinds of questions to get to where they can do what they want to do. At least in their minds, they can do what they want to do. Will dancing help or hurt our influence for Christ? Romans 13, verse 10. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love means having the best interest for, that's the agape love, the best interest for the other person. It is that high form of love that is presented. Will by our dancing show forth the love that we have for Christ, the love that we have for them, because we realize that they are in a position where they could enter into all kinds of evils and sins and so forth that comes about in places where that is done. No, I think we'd have to say no. Can dancing emphasize one's sexuality, thus tantalizing, enticing, or tempting others to have impure thoughts? I've had this question come up. Well, it's just me and my wife. We go out on the dance floor and we dance. Let me tell you, and it goes both ways, especially today. You go out there with your wife, someone's going to lust after your wife. You go out there with your husband, someone's going to lust after your husband. And especially depending upon the moves that you make, you can accentuate that even more. Matthew 18, verse 17, woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offenses come. We should not be in a position where we cause somebody to stumble. We should not be there. Is the dance you would attend part, and here's the other thing that comes up quite a bit. Well, I don't go to the dance to dance. I go for the music. I've had that put to me so many times. As though I don't have a radio. I don't have some sort of player. I don't have a phone that I can tap and there's a song come up. Is it, so the only place to go is to some honky-tonk. We have those in Texas also. They're lewd here too. No, there's other means to listening to music. I tell you what, as I understand, there's going to be a get-together somewhere around the 4th. And there will more than likely be some picking and some singing at that. It is not a church function. It is at a brother's house. And it will be very well done. But it won't be lewd. won't be in that setting. And so when we look at that, is the dance you would attend, would it be part of a carousing, a party full of drinking and other ungodly activities? 1 Peter 4 and verse 8, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. That's before becoming a Christian. That's living the life where that sensuality, that of the flesh, is accentuated. It's amplified. It's the gratification that comes. That's a time past. When we walk in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. And I will add to that Paul's statement, and such like. And such like, because it fits. Is the dance immodest in any way? 1 Peter 3 and verse 4. Let it be the hidden man of the heart, that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is the sight of God, a great price. That's how we dress ourselves. We dress ourselves with that which is spiritual. And I'm using a metaphor here, but also using that which is physical in nature too. In other words, we dress modestly, because we want to accentuate the Lord and not the physical. We want to accentuate Him. Because of dancing, would someone mistake us for a worldly individual? Matthew 5 and verse 16. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Would dancing in today's world, in the settings in which it takes place, would it do that and show what a Christian truly is, or would it show what a follower of the works of the flesh does? I think we understand the answer to that. So here's the conclusion. I know in days past there was much preaching on the subject, but times have changed. No, they haven't. People say they've changed, but among God's people, those things don't change, and the teaching still needs to take place. And wherever that is left off, we're not doing exactly what Paul told Timothy to do in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verses 2 and 3. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I don't see anything wrong with the dance. But will heap to themselves teachers that will tickle their ears. I'm not going to mention the dance. And be turned away from the truth unto fables. And that's what's happening today, because these things are not being taught. I know that some preachers do not preach against the sins of the day, but a true preacher must. Paul says this in Colossians 1, 27 and 28. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Pay attention to that part, that last part of that verse. The riches of the glory of His Majesty, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want to stop there for just a moment. If you can see Jesus Christ on the dance floor today, flailing His body around, showing skin, making lewd movements and so forth, go to the next dance that is scheduled, everything will be fine. I just don't think that you can get there. I don't think that the Lord would do that. Verse 28. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature, complete in Christ Jesus. Not just about thoughts, but also physical deeds and actions. And that's what Paul is talking about there. I know the Lord wants us to all have the mind of a Christian on these matters, and hopefully we all do. Hopefully we all do. There's going to be
pressures that are brought to bear by people that we love, people that we are friends with, and so forth, to join in with them in actions such as dancing, such as drinking, such as gambling. It's going to take place. It's going to take place. But you know what an opportunity it is. What an opportunity it is when we say no. And here's the reason why. Number one, I love you. And number two, I want you to know what it is to really love the Lord. And this is what He has to say about that.
Amen.
And so as we look at these things, I will urge the elders, if I stop preaching on this, fire me. If I stop preaching on matters such as this, it is time for me to be replaced. So get rid of me. Maybe I've made another 6 months now. We'll see.
don't fall into those influences that are out there, into the pressures and stress that are put upon you by those that you may love very much. Don't do that. Because you have one in heaven that loves you so much more. And he wants you with him. There are those here this evening that are not members of the body of Christ. Come to him this day. Start following these principles of the fruit of the Spirit. Turn away from the works of the flesh. Accentuate that which is spiritual. Completely put away that which is the works of the flesh. If you've not been living the life as a Christian, if you've been accentuating those things that are physical, come back to the spiritual. Ask for forgiveness. And I will tell you, we want to pray with you and for you. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.